Welcome to this podcast for St. Peter's Church Greenhill, as we seek to become loving, witnessing, and growing people.
I speak in the name of the living God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. When I read through the reading today in preparation for the sermon, I struggled a bit to see where my sermon could go, because the main thrust of the story is exactly the same as last week's sermon. I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will not hunger. So what could I say? I could have brought the same sermon. I wonder who'd have noticed until they'd listened to the recordings. So I thought a bit about what I'd say, and then I decided to look at bread and its place in the Bible. I enjoy baking and eating bread, so it's a subject close to my heart. Indeed, Aaron is back at home now making some bread for us for lunch, so it's something that's close to our family's hearts. But it's a subject that's close to most people's hearts as well, be it white, granary, gluten-free, rye, barley, leavened or unleavened. The builders of the pyramids were paid in part in bread. The first food laws in this country related to the weight of loaves relative to the cost of grain. And the UK's first food hygiene laws also related to the ingredients of bread, as people were mixing in things like plaster dust in order to make the flour go further. Supermarkets pipe the smell of baking bread to the front of their stores in order to entice us to buy more things. And when we go to a restaurant, often the first thing that they do is bring us a basket of bread as a welcome. Indeed, most countries in the world have some form of bread as a staple food. So bread has an important place in our lives, but how does it feature in the Bible? So now let's return to our reading and see where bread takes us. Jesus told the people, "I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty." Then the people start to grumble. "How can Jesus be the bread that came from heaven? We know who his mum and dad are." Jesus then reiterates that he is the bread of life and that the way to the Father is through him, saying, "The bread is my flesh." And that's where we finished today, actually. The quote I downloaded has slightly more, which is, "The bread is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world." As far as I can tell, that's the first time that Jesus really indicates that he must die for us to receive eternal life. He doesn't unpack that further in this reading, which really annoys the people, but I better not go any further because that's the reading for next week, so I won't say much more about that. So what more can I say about bread and the bread of life that I didn't say last week? Well, throughout the Bible, bread is mentioned and is seen as important. In Genesis, Adam, when he's banished, is told that by the sweat of your brow you will eat bread till you return to the ground. And indeed, grain for bread is the first crop that people grow when agriculture develops. It's vital for the development of modern civilization, the fact that we work and we toil to make our bread. Grain and bread give life, but we are going to have to toil for it. Later on, bread becomes part of our covenant with God. Abraham greets angels with bread made from the finest flour when they meet him at his tent to tell him that he and Sarah will have a son despite their age. Bread is a way we can welcome people and something we can meet over. Then in Exodus, the people are to make unleavened bread, which can be made quickly, so they can be ready for the moment when they must flee Egypt. And then it is bread from heaven that keeps them from starving for 40 years in the wilderness, as our reading mentioned today. we can see that bread is part of the promise of God to the people. We have moved from a necessity that we must toil for to a promise that we can share. Following the covenant relationship through bread, the Israelites are instructed to place 12 loaves, which is called showbread, or bread of presence, on the altar in order to remind them that God is present with all of the 12 tribes of Israel. And it's this showbread that David is given by the priests when his soldiers are starving and they enter the temple to seek food. As well as being a symbol of the promise, the covenant, it can also nourish us and sustain life. So bread is also a gift from God to us, part of his welcoming as well as his promise. It's after this that the relationship with bread changes again. Isaiah talks about the bread of adversity and the water of affliction. As the Jews move away from God, the bread becomes a sign of the broken relationship rather than a promise. It becomes a condemnation, a conviction of their faithlessness. The bread of affliction hangs over the people, and something must be done to restore the promise. Isaiah gives a prophecy that shows how this will be done, when he says, And though the Lord give you bread of adversity and water of affliction, yet your teacher will not hide himself any more, but your eyes will see your teacher. As we know, that prophecy is fulfilled in Jesus. And as we move to Jesus, I learned something interesting when I was researching, which I've not come across before. Bethlehem means house of bread in Hebrew. The birthplace of Jesus is symbolic of his purpose. He is born in the house of bread, and he is the gift of bread from God, the teacher for his people, as Isaiah prophesied. The symbolism in the Bible is striking and leads us up to the statement that from Jesus that we've considered last week and this one. Bread now becomes the reconciliation between man and God, no longer a condemnation. We've moved from toil to covenant to condemnation and now to reconciliation, and all through loaves of bread. But how is Jesus the bread of life? What does he really mean? I have to say, it's not obvious. And indeed, we have an example later in the Gospels where Jesus is telling the disciples I've not written it in English. I'll have to translate. I have to say that this is not obvious, and indeed, we have an example later in the Gospels where Jesus is telling the disciples not to take heed of the leaven or lies of the Pharisees, the oppression of Herod. And at that point, the disciples assume that he is rebuking them for forgetting to bring any bread with them. And Jesus asks them in exasperation, why do you discuss the fact that you have no bread? Do you not yet perceive or understand? Are your hearts hardened? Having eyes, do you not see? And having ears, do you not hear? And do you not remember? When I broke the 5 loaves for the 5,000, how many baskets full of broken pieces did you take up? They said to him, 12. And the 7 for the 4,000, how many baskets full of broken pieces did you take up? And they say to him, 7. And he says to them, do you not yet understand? Well, no. I'm not sure I do. Jesus is sent to reconcile the covenant between the Jews and God, but he also uses bread to show how that covenant has been expanded When a Canaanite woman calls out to him for mercy and for him to heal her demon-possessed daughter, he replies, "It is not right for the children's bread to be tossed to the dogs." "Yes, it is, Lord," she says. "Even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table." Then Jesus says to her, "Woman, you have great faith. Your request is granted." And her daughter was healed at that moment. We can all be included in the reconciliation that Jesus brings, whether we understand it or not. Jesus finishes his symbolism of bread by breaking the loaf and sharing it between his apostles at the Last Supper, the ultimate symbolism that the bread of life must be broken in order to be shared among us, and that which we remember when we share communion, which Eucharist, which we won't be doing today until 6 o'clock this evening, where we will have another Eucharistic service, but as we normally do to remember. I think that the message that Jesus brings, trying to understand what he's saying to the apostles, and is that the gift of bread is abundant and it will bring us life. Jesus is the bread of life, and he brings more than enough for everybody if they will only accept the bread that he offers. Abraham is told that he will be the father of nations, and the Jews are called to be a blessing to the nations. And here is that blessing. The covenant is made in bread, and the covenant is fulfilled in bread. So what? Bread means many things to us. We have to toil to buy bread, just as God told us we would. It can cure our hunger and sustain our lives. It can show our hospitality to those we meet. But bread can also be a blessing to us and the promise of God giving us eternal life. There are therefore two breads: earthly bread that we must toil for, and spiritual bread in Jesus that is our gift from God. The earthly bread fills us and keeps us going, but as in Exodus, we need our daily bread in order to live. The spiritual bread sustains us, and we will never hunger, but we'll have life in abundance if we only accept it. Realistically, we need both to sustain the body and the soul. We all have spiritual needs, whether we believe in God or not. Jesus is the spiritual bread of life, and for Christians, Jesus can fill that aching gap in our souls that society seeks to fill with material things, which ultimately never fully satisfy us. If we focus on Jesus, we are nurtured by him, and he shows us how to lead a fulfilling life based in the Trinity, a life of sharing and love. But we can choose whether to accept this or not. So which do you choose? Do you choose the bread of the world, which never satisfies, or to follow Jesus, the bread of life, who gives us eternal life? As Jesus says in our reading today, "Very truly I tell you, the one who believes has eternal life." Jesus is there waiting for us. Let's take a few moments to renew our commitment to him and to receive that sustaining bread that he promised. So let's pray. Father, I want to accept the bread that you offer so freely. Help me to remember your covenant made in the bread of life, Jesus, and to daily be renewed to do your work. Fill me with the Holy Spirit and help me to crave the sustaining bread you offer, not to be drawn by the bread of affliction offered by the world. Amen.